Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It just dawned on us, and we had this little powwow, and we said, you know what, with the Secret Service and that agent being 5 feet away and missing six shots on Ryan Ruth, and, you know, we said in passing and tongue-in-cheek on the air last hour that even Jimmy Kelly, our great Jimmy Kelly, our producer here, who does a lot of the phone screening in the back, some of the audio, helps out on the Dawn show, Jimmy Kelly's legally blind.
Yep.
And I actually think that Jimmy Kelly would have been able to at least pull off one shot on Ryan Ruth. We can't recreate a shooting in the hallways here at Odyssey.
No, we can't.
Although, but anyway, so what about we go live and we stream Jimmy Kelly from 5 feet away throwing some sort of non-harming objects at me?
I have them right here.
I wish I had like a Nerf gun or something.
No, I have it.
Oh, what do you have?
Candy. So there's these little bite-sized
bars.
Yeah, like Whoppers and Mound Joys, yeah. And Snickers. We'll take six of them.
Yes.
We'll put you 6 feet. Is it 6 feet or five?
5 feet.
5 feet away from Jim Kelly.
And he gets six pieces of candy.
And he will throw them at you to see how many times he can hit you.
That is correct.
Do you like this, Dawn?
Yes, I love it.
Okay.
Now, I'm totally open. If Dawn wants to get us a Nerf gun from Toys R Us, we could do that.
No, I could get it from my basement.
From your basement? That's fine by me. A water pistol would work. Jimmy Kelly, all I ask is that you don't hit me in the face with the candy bar, or if my back to you, just don't hit me in the back of the head.
All right.
The rest of the body's in play.
I want to do this today because tomorrow we'll be on to something new. So let's do these candy. Candy here.
All right. 9 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour after the cut sheet?
Yeah, sometime. Sometime we'll do it. We have to figure out a way to get you in the hallway.
Okay.
So you can still talk. We'll figure it out.
On the air.
It's
going to
happen. It's going to happen. And it'll be on Road Warrior as well as beer bottles.
No, those will hurt.
All right, we're going to do this.
Yes.
Can the legally blind guy hit Nick Cale from 5 feet away with a candy bar?
With six shots.
With six tries.
Unlike the Secret Service able to hit Ryan Ruth as he tries to kill Donald Trump on his own stinking golf course with 12 hours notice.
All right, we're going to do this this morning.
Jesus. All right, so we're calling the game Jimmy Kelly or the Secret Service. We'll take wagers on this as well. We should set some odds. Get FanDuel on the horn. We'll see.
I love it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? All right, 7:08. Let's get back to some serious things. That's why we hand it off to our journalist of
our serious person.
Our serious person. That's correct. The great Dawn Stensland. Round number two of the news at 7:08.
Yes, good morning. And Kale & Company News Live, the second edition, 7 a.m. edition, sponsored by Spring Dance Hot Tubs this morning, this Thursday morning, December the 12th. New details on the manhunt on the main line for a suspect in that deadly home invasion in Lower Merion Township that we've been talking about. The U.S. Marshals Service has now joined in the search for this suspect, who's identified as 42-year-old Kelvin Roberts of West Philadelphia. He is wanted for the murder of 25-year-old Andrew Gaudio and critically injuring his 61-year-old mother, Bernadette, during a home invasion that happened on Sunday. This is Meredith Road, Wynwood, tree-lined, very quiet community on the main line there. Police say that Gaudio, the son, was shot and killed while he was trying to protect his mother, who was also shot, but she then was able to call 911. She has undergone multiple surgeries. She remains in critical condition at Lankinoff Medical Center, and Lankinoff, you know, where the hospital is, not so far from where the family lived, but she is, according to investigators, she is now conscious. She's talking to investigators. She's able to give them information and obviously grieving the death of her son. But her son, who was killed, was trying to help his mom. And that's the latest from, oh my goodness, from Montgomery County DA. Kevin Steele has, you know, released this information.
What a holiday tragedy. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine. Lose your son. Mom's going to, you know, hang on for dear life. It's what an awful story.
So the and the family speaking out of it, this appears to be a burglary gone obviously horribly wrong. A GoFundMe page was set up for the family. They've raised about $150,000. And the page was set up by a family friend who read, the young man of 25 whose life was just beginning, gone. A mother who lost her husband 15 years ago, now facing the loss of her youngest son and a life of possible paralysis. So they don't know if she'll ever walk again, because she was shot multiple times.
Right.
And now this was the older brother. So these other, you know, the victim's older brothers, the other sons speaking out about this, just saying, we can't find the words to explain, you know, our gratitude for your support. They just ask everyone to pray for the family.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's disgusting. I hope once this gets to the courts, I hope Kevin Steele's office throws the book at this individual.
Well, they're still, you know, looking for this, what they say, a fugitive from justice. We also have an update for you, and this is a grand jury has now indicted a 44-year-old man who was accused, and this was a tragedy last summer, accused of drunk driving, that car crash. You may remember late August, killing National Hockey League star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matt as they were riding bikes in Salem County. And it was the eve of their sister's wedding. Remember this? It was just a horrible story. They're riding bikes. And this man, Sean Higgins, he was indicted by the Salem County Grand Jury. Two counts of second-degree reckless vehicular homicide. Two counts of first-degree aggravated manslaughter. And so this, he's accused of being, I forget what the blood alcohol, I was looking this up, 0.87 level alcohol. So, they've said that he was obviously very intoxicated when he allegedly ran over the Gaudreau brothers. Johnny was 31 and Matt was 29.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So no comment from his attorney. You remember the funeral for the brothers? I mean, thousands, you know.
I watched them play when I was in Nashville in 2018, 2019. One of the Gaudreaus came in on the visiting team, the road team, and I watched them play in person. Yeah.
So the as far as the accused drunk driver, he is learning more about Higgins, Drexel University graduate and officer in the Army National Guard, who before this crash worked at an addiction services provider in Pennsylvania. It's a tragic story, although has a wife and family as well. A New Jersey judge had ordered Higgins to remain behind bars until his trial, expressing concerns about his alleged road rage and his potential suicide risk. So he has been on suicide watch.
Mm-hmm.
We have homeowners in Delaware County furious. This meeting last night, another packed meeting. They are furious with Democrats in their county council who, again, have hiked real estate taxes. This was by a 4-1 margin, the 5-member all-Democrat county council there approving this hike last night, citing a need to maintain county services. They claim it's because of Republicans in the past running Delco, which they don't run Delco, but also they say that the COVID-19 relief dollars have run dry.
Oh.
So this is a 23% tax hike on top of last year's 5% hike. So a nearly, you know, this is a 28% tax hike.
23 on top of 5?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, leaders in nearby Montgomery County say, you know, they're going to, again, hike taxes as well in Monco. These are the Democrat-run, you know, counties in the color counties.
You know, I was thinking about this, Greg. Once these tax hikes come to Montgomery County, with the advancements of technology, I've got a Comrex unit at home and a microphone.
No, you have to be here. You have to be here.
I don't know. I'll broadcast from a porch in Panama City, Florida.
Nope, you have to be here. We do a TV show, too.
That's right. That's a good point.
Well, speaking of trying to, you know, make more money, bring in more revenue, we got to talk about the Sixers arena. And that is, it looks like the Philadelphia City Council, they delayed the vote yesterday. That my headline was, show me the money to get the deal done. So the proposal here, the argument here has been about the so-called Community Benefits Agreement, CBA. So the Sixers had agreed to pay $50 million, but many in council want double that, $100 million. And that's just for the community benefits, like Friends with Benefits, Community Benefits Program. So part of that, I just was looking through a $9 million increase for housing support in Chinatown, which would be a total of $12 million, a total of $20.5 million for increases in funding for special services, providing public safety, other services around surrounding the Sixers arena, $10 million for businesses impacted, and then a total of $10 million for the Chinatown Community Land Trust and the Business Grant Program for Chinatown. So a lot of money being thrown around here to try to, we'll see if they council, obviously it's Thursday.
Yeah.
They meet anyway. We'll see if they actually get it together.
You know, I was chatting with a couple of buddies that I used to do sports with in this city via text message over the last couple of days, just about like the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and the A.J. Brown drama. And
how are Jason and Harry doing?
They're phenomenal. Okay. They're tremendous. They give you their, they wish you a happy holiday directly. He said, tell Stalker we love them. But, you know, it's interesting. I asked him about the Sixers arena, and because, Don, we've established that this is not coming from taxpayer dollars, right? This is all, quote, privately funded. Most people that they have spoken to aren't really interested one way or the other in the concept of the whole idea. I don't know if it's because of the end date being 2031 and nobody can get past what they were doing this weekend, much less worrying about something 7 years from now. I don't know if it's because of Embiid. He'll be gone. He'll be retired. He'll be in a wheelchair at that point. The Sixers stink. I really, and this is nothing against your story, I don't think most people really give a rip about this story. I really don't. Unless it directly affects you in the vicinity as a small business owner or a resident that rents property, I think the casual person,
yep.
I think this is it seems like a general story. Hey, Sixers, beautiful arena. And it will be beneficial, I think, for those down there. I've seen so many things in Nashville sporting-wise that it got refurbished, and it was great for tourism. It was great for tourism dollars. I think the casual person that lives in Bucks or Delco or Chester or Montgomery that's not a Sixers fan, I don't even think this story's on the radar.
Yeah.
And it's not to disparage what you're saying in the news. I just don't think most people don't care.
Yeah.
It's $1.3 billion being infused into Philadelphia.
And I think you probably should care. Like, if you have an emotional attachment to the city itself of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and want to see the city survive and thrive and, you know, become a booming destination and have people coming in all over the country to check out this area, especially if they do things around it on top of the arena itself, I think you should care. I just get the feeling that it's off the grid for people. Just a gut feeling.
I think it's off the grid, but I think that's probably to the advantage of Mayor Sherelle Parker.
Agreed.
Who's for this.
Yes.
Yes.
And as a Philadelphia City, taxpayer, I will say that, we're talking about the collar counties. They don't have revenue streams, and they've added a ton of what taxpayers, mm-hmm. in Delco and Monco claim are that Democrats have added a lot of bureaucracy and bloated.
Right.
Those governments, and somebody's got to pay. Sherelle Parker, by contrast, mm-hmm. Philadelphia's mayor, is trying to bring in revenue sources. Well, here's $1.3 billion, not for nothing. That's a huge cash infusion.
You're right.
into the city.
Yes, yes. A lot of things you can do with that. Now, you are technically a city resident.
I am a resident, long-time resident.
If this was taxpayer-funded, would you be opposed to it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's not.
I would, too. I'd be fuming.
Oh, yeah, but that's the deal is that the Sixers are at the table, and they are still at the table. The fact that they're still at the table when city council says they want $100 million, double what they, the fact that they're still at the table is amazing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
if it comes to fruition and that thing's open in 7 years from now and I'm not dead from a heart attack, I'll check it out. I'll go one time. I'll take it in for sure.
Absolutely.
I love things like that.
I'll just headline this for you that we're just learning more about those large drones. We've been talking a lot about the drones flying over parts of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, getting new details on that this morning. So we've been talking about that one. There's Joe Biden making historic levels of pardons, commutations. I know we'll talk about that one. And there's so much news. I can't get it all in. So I'll just end with the four. Oh, and I'll ask the question. Is there a fingerprint match in the case of one Luigi Mangione?
Yes.
And the CEO killing in New York? What's the latest with the extradition attempt from PA to New York? I'll just say it that way for you.
Yeah, expound upon that when we come back, because I do want to get into these posters that are going up in New York about the CEO wanted list. So that'll be a perfect time to give the update on that.
And in D.C., I know we'll talk about this, Blinken on the hot seat as far as the disastrous withdrawal, deadly withdrawal from Afghanistan as we learn more about Abbey Gate and our 13 U.S. service members killed. All of that upcoming. But today the forecast, sunny, bright, brisk, gusty winds, keeping our wind chill values in the 20s, even though the high, the technical high is 40 degrees today. And then tomorrow for your Friday, winds will finally ease. So it'll still be, only 37 for your high. It'll feel warmer with sunny skies because we don't have the wind. Saturday, 39 degrees, sunshine. Sunday, mostly cloudy, but at least we're at 46 and then back to the 50s as we head back into the work week next week. Steelers, Eagles, Sunday, one of the headlines.
The Eagles!
In the Philadelphia Inquirer quoting people, are you a Steelers fan, Eagles fan? And Josh Shapiro goes for the Eagles.
Yeah, he should, as a Montgomery cat. By the way, the only thing worse than being a Philadelphia sports fan where you root for the Sixers, Flyers, Phillies, and then you pick the Cowboys is if you're a Sixers, Flyers, and Phillies fan and you root for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because you lived in the 70s with Bradshaw. You weasels.
This is the great inner Commonwealth matchup.
That's right.
So we are sponsored by Spring Dance Hot Tubs in Kale and Company News Live. It's the 12 days of saving Spring Dance Hot Tubs from December 12th to the 24th. So get up to $5,000 off hot tubs, up to $2,500 off saunas, and 20% off water care. That's for the first 20 customers. You sign up for their new auto ship program. So this is only at Spring Dance Hot Tubs. I love my Spring Dance Hot Tub. Visit springdancehottubs.com. Thank you, Spring Dance Hot Tubs, for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 7:23, we will come back before we get to the cut sheet, and we will get to the latest revelations on the Luigi story and also these CEO posters going up in New York City.
By the way, we will do the contest to see if our legally blind producer here, Jimmy Kelly, can hit you from 5 feet away with candy bars. I want to do it before the 9 o'clock hour because you know what happens in the 9 o'clock hour, right? Everybody comes in.
Yeah.
So I want the halls to be clear. If we do it in the 7 or 8 o'clock hour, nobody will be here.
Well, we should be good as long as we do it any day but Tuesday.
No, today's, there'll be people here. Yeah, today. It's Thursday. That's so, right. We should do that soon. Can the legally blind producer hit Nick Kale with a candy bar? Because as we know, the Secret Service couldn't hit Ryan Ruth.
Right.
six shots.
That's six.
He couldn't hit a bull's ass with a base fiddle.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tony Bruno.
So maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that right before the cut sheet.
Oh, before the cut sheet.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh boy. All right. That means we're doing this relatively soon.
Yeah.
All right. Kale and Company back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, there's no greater time of the year to give back than the holiday season. And that's why my friends from Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're partnering with the Salvation Army once again for the Piazza Toy Drive. They do this every year. Beautiful event. And visit any of the Pennsylvania or Delaware Piazza Premium showrooms. That's through December 16th. Do this by next Monday, through next Monday. Just donate a new unwrapped toy. Drop it off. Your support, of course, is going to make the holidays a little bit brighter for a local child. You're going to feel good. Find the dealership nearest you online, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Thank you. Happy holidays. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
We gave you the national security updates this morning on the Big Take with the drones in New Jersey. And then we got into the immigration issue and the numbers that have come across our border, both legally and illegally. And then the trifecta was a clip that I saw on social media this morning from the Jesse Waters show last night, which we have new revelations in the second Trump assassination attempt, where Ryan Wesley Ruth, as we know, was hiding out in the weeds along the fence, in the shrub, trying to kill Donald Trump on his own golf course. And the new details are that the Secret Service was within 5 feet of Ryan Wesley Ruth.
Yep.
And they pulled out their gun and shot six bullets and missed all six. That is humanly impossible. If it wasn't confirmed, I would say that's not a true story. That's fake news.
Yep.
So we decided to bring in our producer, Jimmy Kelly, who is legally blind. I'm not kidding, folks. Yeah. Legally blind. He's got miniature candy bars in his hands. And you won't see him. He's on the other side, but he's in here. And Phil is in here as well.
Well wait, can we? Are we not getting the video?
No, how we are. You can see me. And if I get hit with the candy bar, it's a direct hit. I'll drop dead, and we'll say Jimmy Kelly's got more ability than the Secret Service.
Okay,
Jimmy Kelly, just come over here so the audience
five
can
feet
see
away.
That you're here.
Yeah, 5 feet away.
He's
just 5 feet away. So there's Jimmy Kelly.
Legally blind.
Legally blind.
Yep.
Legitimately, like Jimmy Kelly, when he gives me my live reads in the morning, he's like up here, right? Like he right there, right?
Right.
So you can't see a damn thing. All right. So you're going to throw, what candy bars do we have here?
Like these Whoppers.
We got Whoppers. We've got Almond Joys. We've got mini Snickers. Put those in the freezer for after the show. Those are phenomenal.
We should have put them in the freezer before we even did this bit.
That's correct. We should have put them in the freezer for extra impact. That would really hurt and leave a welt. And my wife will think I got abused at work by the bosses.
Hit him good, Jimmy.
All right, so go back over. You go back
five
over 5 steps. Feet. There we go.
That's
right?
More than 5 feet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close. Come a little bit further, Jimmy.
That's like
seven feet. Jimmy actually thinks he could do it from like 10 feet.
Bill, oh my gosh,
Phil, to prove a point.
Phil, just to make this, easier, can you measure? Can you do five? What is it? 5 feet, right?
5 feet. Yeah. If you want to measure 5 feet, I did it. It was right about here. So I don't know if the microphone can pick me up from this far out, but this is about 5 feet.
Yep. Three.
Jimmy's about 5-6 feet away.
Okay. All right.
It's close enough. It's nothing on this show is exact science, right? We've established that after 3 years.
Road Warrior wants Jimmy to hit Kale in the
Easter
beanbag.
In the beanbag.
Yeah.
Oh no!
I'd gladly take a candy bar to the beanbag before the face.
Okay.
Just because I wear glasses.
All right.
So here we go.
Hang on. Everybody, get ready.
All right.
Build up anticipation.
All right.
So I did put some celebratory balloons from our sister station.
That's right.
Maybe it'll help Jimmy see a little better. I don't know.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to see this video.
Right.
Will our legally blind producer, and, you know, this is not a bit. He's legally blind. Our legally blind producer.
Can he hit?
Yeah, he's the best. He's been here longer than anybody.
Yes.
He's the best producer, honestly. He can run circles around me on the board.
Yeah.
And
by the way, let's just build this up a little bit because there is science to what we do, right?
Thank you.
And it's all about winning certain quarter hours. Not that anybody cares about that but us. So, Jimmy Kelly, let's do a little a reenactment of My Cousin Vinny when they're in the courtroom. Remember the scene where the lady who had, like, her levels of thickness of her glasses was boosted, like, four times over the years, and he pulled the tape measure out and said, so let's just see how good Jimmy Kelly is. Jimmy Kelly, how many fingers am I holding up right now?
We're holding up. Looks like two.
No. That is correct. But that was a challenge for him.
Yeah.
So this could be a tough feat to accomplish.
And this is Jimmy Kelly, South Philadelphia, pride of the Overbrook School, we want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
So we love Jimmy.
Jimmy's been here longer than Stalker. True story, by the way. All right. So
let's do this.
All right. Jimmy Kelly, fire number one. By the way, stay away from the face and don't throw it super hard. Pretend you're Jalen Hurts.
You're not allowed to say throw it hard.
Yeah. No zip on the ball. I'm AJ Brown. I want a nice catchable ball. Here we go. Jimmy Kelly, throw number
one. On your mark. Get set.
Hard. Straight.
Go.
All right, he got me. Boom.
Oh,
left thigh.
Left thigh. Okay.
Bullet wound to the thigh.
Okay, ready? Right. One more shot.
Two. Right in the pills.
Oh, no.
That was an almond joy in the nuts.
So he's hit two. So he's two for two.
He's two for two.
He's two for two.
He's already beat the Secret Service.
All right, hang on. Tell him to stop for 1 second.
All right, hold on 1 second, Jimmy.
Okay. So just for those of you just tuning in, we're not just doing this because it's a wacky radio bit.
No.
There was actual.
There's a purpose.
There was a report that the Secret Service was 5 feet away from Ryan Ralph when he was on the golf course trying to take out President-elect Trump.
A guy with a gun, too close to a former president and candidate.
And that's a Secret Service fired six times and missed all six.
That's right.
And we have a legally blind producer who is throwing candy bars at Nick Cale.
That's right. He's two for two.
Yeah, and he's two for two.
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
number three.
Shot three. Fire away.
Woohoo!
He hit him again.
Right in the gut.
Three for three.
I could bleed out right now on radio. All right, he's three for three.
God.
All right, halfway there.
Here we go.
Here comes the almond joy.
Oh, he hit him right in the chest.
Left breast.
Four for four.
It's getting better here.
So I've got a thigh wound. I've got a testicle wound. Abdominal wound.
Ryan Ralph is going
to call in sick tomorrow.
Yeah. Dawn, call the medics and get me over to Temple immediately on North Broad. That's where all the people go to bleed out at.
You know, when you go to the shooting range, I think you take Jimmy Kelly with you.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right.
Exactly.
Target practice.
All right, two more, Jimmy.
Two more?
Yep. All right, there's another one in the abdominal area.
He hit him right again.
Yep, he's 5 for 5.
He's 5 for 5.
Legally blind and still more competent than the Secret Service.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Last one. And he got me right in the belly button.
Oh, my God.
So, Jimmy, 6 for 6.
6 for 6.
Yes.
The legally blind producer, Jimmy Kelly, 6 for 6. Wow.
We love you, Jimmy. Pride of Odyssey in the Overbrook School.
Yes. I've never been more proud of Jimmy, and I've never been more ashamed of the country I live in.
Thank you,
Jimmy Kelly for Secret Service.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Cash Patel's on line one. There you have it.
That is unbelievable.
Jimmy Kelly, nice job, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, there you go. He's officially on the show now.
This is great.
He went from picking movie clips to throwing candy bars. What a time
that
to
was awesome.
6 for 6.
6 for 6.
The Secret Service missed him
all six times from 5 feet away with a gun.
It just shows you though how it makes you realize how close 5 feet, and I think Jimmy was a little bit further than
he was
five.
He's probably 6.5, 7 feet away.
5 feet's pretty close.
Joseph says, when did this become S&M radio?
Unbelievable. Just unstinking believable. All right, 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Let's get to the New York City story with Luigi and the fallout from the CEO murder of Brian Thompson from United Healthcare. This is remarkable. Phil has a video. It's about 25 seconds long, and then we'll have a still shot of a picture. So we have now people that are so sick in the head and clearly angry and have hated the healthcare system for a long time that they're going around in New York. And I just want to give you the exact location of this. This is actually on Canal Street, which is one of Manhattan's busiest areas, where people are going around and putting up wanted signs with pictures of other corporate leaders of other healthcare companies. And you will see this now. If you want to roll the video, Phil, let's play this for YouTube.
Did you say this?
So the pictures are blurred out. There's the red wanted sign.
It's unbelievable.
And these are individuals, I'm assuming, probably from rival companies of United Healthcare, CEOs perhaps, maybe HR executives, the high up biggity big people in the healthcare industry that make a ton of money. And apparently these signs say a handful of things, including wanted, denying medical care for corporate profit. Healthcare CEOs should not feel safe. Another poster that has gone up, and you'll see the still shot. There you go. Denying denying medical care for corporate profit. Healthcare CEOs should not feel safe. And then you see the deny, defend, depose, 3D words that we know were put on the customized bullets that Luigi Mangione was allegedly carving out or purchasing or however they are made. And I said this before we got to the story, and I teased it. Is there any doubt that these people, and it might not be the same exact people, but it's the same mindset of the people that were taking down the missing posters of Jewish hostages in Gaza? Like, bring home so-and-so. And we played you these on the cut sheet, where these losers are going around New York City, Philadelphia, wherever these are, and tearing them down. And we had some good Samaritans. Remember, we played clips of other people with their smartphones videotaping it and confronting them, saying, why are you taking that down? Like, there's family, there's people's families out there hoping that their loved ones come out of those dark, awful tunnels, and you're out there yanking them down? I mean, I get it. And we've talked, and this has been the common theme for now 8 days. A lot of us, if not all of us, are very, very disgusted with the healthcare system in the United States of America. But we don't resort to killing people. We've established that. And I'm also not going to go walking around Bluebell today putting up wanted signs for the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna or any of these other corporations out there that are ripping us off. I don't know. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but I just feel like, Dawn, that this is a disgusting time where this doesn't result in change. And if this does lead to change, that actually sets a precedent. Then what are you saying? That we need to have, that if you do it once, if you do it more than once, two times, five times, all of a sudden we're going to revamp the healthcare system at the expense of somebody's life? I think that's an awful precedent to set.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, the thing about it is with these people to put that up, it's a threat. It's actually a threat. And they they need to put out the word. If you put up a sign like this, you are making a direct threat. That's not free speech. You're not allowed to do that.
Healthcare CEOs should not feel safe. That's a threat right there. If I walk up to you and I say, hey, you should not feel safe, you could infer that I'm making a threat to you about your well-being. And I think you just nailed it. That's not free speech.
It's not free speech. It's not allowed. And yes, is there an appropriate forum to talk about this? And perhaps there is this underlying feeling of course, not condoning this tragedy for a family, a mother and sons, and not condoning any violence. But is there a forum to say, you know, how does this happen with these companies that we didn't even really report or know the DOJ was investigating United Healthcare for an alleged monopoly situation? These are monopolistic companies that I think a lot of people do resent.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way to cure that. And that has to do with lawmakers and the lobbyists who, you know, control them. And that brings us to the end of the year. What's happening right now as we speak?
Uh-huh.
Because in these budget bills, these bloated end of the year budget bills that all these lawmakers takes two to tango, bipartisan, they stuff this thing at the end and they do their lobbyist buddies favors.
Uh-huh.
And so we need to send, you need to call your local, you know, congressperson, senator, representative and make sure that you tell them they will be accountable for this type of legislation and kowtowing to lobbyists.
I've got a feeling that a lot of people that feel like this, that go to the extent of certainly doing what Luigi did or what these people are doing with these posters, they're the ones that have never been able to handle no correctly. They were either coddled or pampered or threw hissy fits. And where does it stop here? We're talking about healthcare insurance right now. What's next? Are we going to start targeting the CEOs of Discover and Visa and MasterCard because credit card companies are charging 28% interest and gouging us on that? Should we murder a CEO from Visa? What about the mortgage rates in this country? 6%, 8%, whatever it might be. Well, it's not 2.25% anymore. Is that open season now to kill people for that?
Well, that's just it. You know, the concept of pleasing the masses. I mean, I think let's go back to the election. Trump, what has Trump said? I love his idea that temporarily to make it so that all credit cards, everybody, you have a 10% or less interest rate.
Yeah.
So that to allow people to catch up you know, in this horrible inflation economy, mm-hmm. it's a fantastic idea
yeah.
for Trump to say we're going to get rid of we're overburdened in our society with all the costs, the inflation, and then paying for a minimum of 8 million
yeah.
plus people mm-hmm. coming into the country. All of this appeases the masses, if you will.
Yeah. Hey, what about student loans with this stupid Biden bailout program? So now what? We're gonna target deans and chancellors and presidents of universities that are charging $80,000 per academic year to get a bachelor's degree in communications? I mean, where do you draw the line? Even Liz Warren was putting out some ridiculous comments last night. I saw this. She was in regards to the cold-blooded murder. She said, "Quote: Violence is never the answer, but." You can only push people so far, and then they start to take matters into their own hands. That was Liz Warren's comments that were circulating in the last 20 hours. I don't know if she might have been on MSNBC or CNN, but the clips are out there. Maybe we could throw those in on the cut sheet as well.
As far as Biden, under his forgiveness programs, just to update you, that number is, I just had the number up, for people, and these are not working class people or people who work with their hands. And I think that's what we've talked about. And so you talk about appeasing the masses, general people who are out there working with their hands, creating, doing, feel resentment that he's kowtowing to wealthier people making six figures who did not, you know, who haven't paid off their student loans. The bailout, I believe, exceeds $4.5 billion. No, that's additional. So we've exceeded $5 billion in student loan relief.
Yeah.
That from Biden, and that's for 60,000 borrowers.
There you go.
Billions of dollars.
855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHT. Santo checks in. He says, Greg Stocker making radio fun again. Does Jimmy Kelly win free implants if he hits Nick Cale? You should win something. You went 6 for 6.
I'll get Jimmy Kelly something.
Just give him the candy. He can take the candy bars with him.
He's a good guy. By the way, this was Jimmy's idea.
Yeah, that's right.
I give full credit of this to Jim Kelly.
Thank you, Jim Kelly.
He wanted to do this.
That's
so
right.
This is we don't force anybody to do anything. He was like, I bet you I can hit Nick.
Yeah, Rudy says on Twitter, Jimmy Kelly, the pride of Gray's Ferry.
Amen. Yes, woo! Gray's Ferry.
There we go. All right, Cut Sheet is coming up next here on a Thursday morning on Kale & Company. I'm going to go grab me a Snickers.
At 7 o'clock hour, sponsored by Winter Ford, the Winter Ford Cherry Hill Get Ready Holiday Sales Event is here. See Dino Rucci and his team for discounts and rebates of up to $10,000 on new Fords. Call 800-428-4000 for details. Check your savings at winterford.com. That's winner, W-I-N-N-E-R, Ford.com, winterford.com. Do it now.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Thursday installment of what Stocker has lined up for What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday? Brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter. Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo. Where relationships matter. Okay, there's since we have a lot of people over on the YouTube video screen because they wanted to see the bit. By the way, Phil Omquist, hard at work, Dawn, back in our laboratory right now working on the video.
Of
Jim Kelly throwing candy bars.
A little slow mo.
Yeah, so we'll have that all up on the socials later. Google. When you guys think of Google, you guys think of search engines, right?
Yeah, second best to DuckDuckGo.
Way, 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 way inferior.
Yeah, I agree.
To DuckDuckGo, by the way, if you have not signed up for that yet, the
well,
Privacy
they track
Pro.
You. Google tracks you.
Yeah, the Privacy Pro. You got to do it like now because that.
It's a free subscription.
The subscription that Nick and Dawn and Rich all talk about it ends like this week.
That's
so
right. 30-day free trial.
This is it.
Sign up now.
Do it.
Do it. It's free. What have you got to lose?
Google. Thank you, Dawn. Google has a new holiday ad. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Jeez. I've got a few thoughts going in my head as to what this possibly could be. Something that I'm going to disagree with.
All right. This is the new holiday ad from Google. Just roll it.
Okay. So dry.
Oh,
this winter dryness is not it, especially when I have so many holiday looks to pull off. Thankfully, I know just the thing. And it's in stock nearby. Hydrated skin is a gift to everyone. No wrapping needed. Happy holidays to me.
Google Shopping.
All right, so Dylan Mulvaney is back for round. No, it's not Dylan Mulvaney. Might as well be Dylan Mulvaney. So let me just ask Google this question. You know, so I know Google is used for a lot of different things, but you know, it's a lot of these companies, like Google, Yahoo, Bing, all inferior to DuckDuckGo. But the main concept is it's a quick way to search something, right? To look up an answer, a location, a phone number. Is that necessary? Does that get you more downloads of your app? Does that get you more people going to www.google.com? Probably not. Did you miss what happened to Bud Light? I mean, I get it. You're a big tech giant. Maybe you don't care. But it wouldn't surprise me if once this video goes viral that wherever Google is in the hierarchy of search engines, I could see the arrow going in the wrong direction for them. Just a thought.
John Lesinov, that was Nick's old girlfriend.
That was. Her name was Claudia. Now she's just Claude.
Cash Patel yesterday was spoke to the senators, right?
Cash was busy yesterday.
So he left Capitol Hill yesterday because, as you know, he's the nominee for the new FBI director, as it was announced yesterday that Christopher Wray would be resigning. What do you guys think about that, by the way? I didn't get either of your opinions on the resignation than the firing.
And by the way, the clarification on this with the 10 years, it's not a guarantee that he was entitled to 10 years. That's the limit in which he could be in said role.
Right.
And obviously he was a Trump selection. No, it's obvious. I mean, he knows he's going to get zipped, so he tries to at least feel like he's ahead of the eight ball, so to speak, and get the quote one up, but he knows he was getting whacked.
I think that it's important to remember the history of this because we keep hearing Trump and the transition team talk about the fact that in 2016, he was a newbie, if you will. He'd never been a politician in Washington, D.C. But I'll just remind you of the history that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who always tells us he was a former U.S. attorney, he was the one who suggested Christopher Wray as a replacement for Comey. Remember this?
Yep.
That whole thing. And so remember, Christopher Wray was Chris Christie's attorney in the Bridgegate scandal.
Right. Right.
So just a little, just remember all of that.
Yep.
Okay.
In history.
Let's start with, the reporters yesterday, and Phil, I think this is the wrong one. I think you need cut eight here. The reporters yesterday were asking Cash Patel questions as he was leaving at Capitol Hill. One of the reporters asked, "Are you going to be seeking retribution against Donald Trump's political opponents?" roll it.
To a very smooth transition, and I'll be ready to go on day one.
Are you going to be seeking retribution against Donald Trump's political opponents, sir?
Sorry, what's your reaction to that resignation? We look forward to a very smooth transition at the FBI, and I'll be ready to go on day one.
All right, so he took the Bill Belichick approach. He's going to give you the most boring answer of all time. Again, Trump's the boss. And what Trump had said in the past, and he said it multiple times, "I don't have time for revenge. I don't have time for retribution. My payback will be success."
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to waste any amount. So all of these pardonings, whether it's Joe, I know Bill Clinton's out there saying he might pardon people so Trump doesn't go after whoever Bill Clinton's going to pardon. I don't think Trump's going to waste his time with any of that. I really don't. It's just, it's lip service. It creates a soundbite. How many times does Trump say something and then he never goes ahead and does it? It's nothing more than media fodder.
I believe this is a Fox News reporter, I think this is Jackie Heinrich, asking on whether the DOJ should have access to lawmakers' communications. This is cut nine, Phil, go.
Do you think that the DOJ should be allowed to have access to lawmakers and their staff's communications in such a sweeping way? Can that be weaponized and abused?
That's something that's going to have to be addressed with whoever runs the FBI and the Department of Justice in the future.
Well, I mean, how many times have we seen communications where there's a lot of stuff on the down low being distributed from Party A to Party B, and then all of a sudden when it comes to light, and we have whistleblowers, and we have congressional hearings, and then all of a sudden, evidence is destroyed, emails mm-hmm. are deleted, phones are shattered. I do think that kind of creates somewhat of a slippery slope, but then again, if they're government issued and you're working for the taxpayer, I'm not opposed to having, you know, the superiors. I mean, let's face it. I have an email address with Odyssey, right? They have access to what I'm using. Now, I probably should check my Odyssey email more often. But if I was doing stuff
please.
On that.
Good God.
If both, I was doing stuff on that, you know, from a corrupt standpoint or sending derogatory messages, they would have every right to go through and investigate, right?
Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Governor.
criticize the American people for choosing Donald Trump over the opportunity to, quote, elect the first female president.
Tell me, I'll take soy boy for 500, Alex.
Roll it, Phil.
Supposed to be that way. Ah. We were supposed to be on a steady, if difficult sometimes, march towards progress. And yet, just a few weeks ago, the United States voted for a second time to not elect its first woman president.
To not.
Everywhere, women's rights and women's progress is under attack, overtly and subtly.
That's right.
I know that I am.
Yeah, Dawn.
Always will be a proud feminist.
Okay. Yes. The man is telling you, Dawn Stanton, how to feel, okay? Yes.
The party of the Justin Trudeau, officially the leader of the Liberal Party of Canada.
I hate Canada.
I do too. I think Canada's a scam. it's the whole concept.
By the way, his days are numbered. Yes. That Pierre guy is gonna he's gonna oust Trudeau. I don't know when their elections are.
That's what I was actually just looking up right now, because we've seen populism on the rise.
Yep.
You know, it's sweeping the globe.
Yeah, it's coming, Canada. Yeah. I'm just letting everybody know.
That's right.
It's coming to Canada.
Get ready, get scared, grab all the Labatts and Molsons you can. Trudeau's on his way out.
Tracy says, well, we can't all have female presidents like Canada. It's not right. He identifies as a man, so we should yes. take his word for it.
It's better eyebrows than most women.
Yeah.
It does, and he doesn't have the unibrow like Luigi. And he's never killed a healthcare CEO, allegedly. You know, the thing is, and we've talked about this, you know, with Kamala, certainly 8 years ago with Hillary, I do believe that we will have a female president. I really do. It's just, you're not going to end up with a super progressive left-wing nut like Kamala. Could you know, a conservative female do it? Possibly. Could a moderate female do it? Possibly.
Here's my thoughts on all of this. I don't know if we'll ever see it, or in my lifetime, if we'll see a female president.
I think it's more likely than a third party.
But I will say this, that there are plenty of female governors and senators, and you know what I mean? So, like, it's not that Americans won't elect a female. We've elected a ton of females.
Yes.
Just not as president.
Just not as president. So, like,
and I know she got swept in the battlegrounds, and you know, Trump gained 4 million votes. But I mean, to her credit.
Oh wow! Look at this, 804.
Kamala Harris got more votes than Barack Obama.
Yeah,
I mean, so this notion that a female can't win, I think, is far fetched.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Kamala. This is from Fox 11 out of Los Angeles, I guess. This is two black teachers are suing Beverly Hills over students wearing MAGA hats and chanting F Kamala. So I guess this happened in a school.
And this is a very liberal area, I would presume.
Beverly Hills High.
Wow.
So, like, you know, where Jason Priestley and...
Yeah.
Luke Perry went.
90210, baby.
All right, let's roll the news report, because I'm very curious to see their grounds for this. But okay, let's roll it.
This cafeteria, in their mind, is somehow disgusting or dirty simply because there are black people eating there. That is the epitome of racism.
It was just mob of kids, just so many kids outside my door.
On election day, a group of students with MAGA hats and a Trump flag roamed down the hallway of Beverly Hills High School.
It's an insurrection.
How scary it was.
Teacher Bella Ivory says the group of students tried to enter her classroom where there were several black students.
Some of the students were shouting, "F Kamala," as they walked down the hallway.
the profanity towards our vice president, who is part black, combined with students congregating in front of my classroom, increased my fears and also the students' fears who were locked inside that room with me.
Bella's attorney has filed a formal complaint with the Beverly Hills Unified School District. He plans on filing a lawsuit next.
I can, discrimination, harassment.
Okay, what are you saying?
I can see you can't do that in school. No. I fully agree with that. However, racism...
Well, I mean, if there was racist comments or racism, and
they didn't say that.
Okay,
they said that it's because that they went to a predominantly black class. I mean, like, how can you prove that?
Well,
I don't know.
If you have 20 students, and
look, I'm not
right.
What these kids did is not.
I have no problem with the kids wearing MAGA hats. I mean, you should be able to wear a MAGA hat in a public school. I have zero issue with that whatsoever, because they wouldn't, in all likelihood, most schools probably would not create the same story if some kids were wearing a Kamala Harris, Tim Walz T-shirt or a Biden Harris, T-shirt, sweatshirt or hat. So the apparel I have no problem with. I really don't mind the flag, but you can't. I'll try to be consistent. I'm consistent with the flag stuff. Like, I don't want to see political flags or social flags in public schools. To me, there's two flags. There's the United States flag and then the statewide flag, like, you know, the state of Pennsylvania flag, or the, when I was in Tennessee, a lot of people had the state of Tennessee flag.
Well, what if that's the pride flag? What if those students had done that with a pride flag through the school? I don't think it would have been a story.
Correct. You're right.
That's
the hypocrisy.
And that does happen in schools. I would just say, it's a public school or private school? What was the school again?
Beverly Hills High School.
That's a public school.
Yeah, for rich kids. Yeah.
So I would just say that they need to take control of their hallways, because something could have erupted. But encourage your students to have a conversation, create an after-school club. Mm-hmm. If they want to have a MAGA club, that kids can create any club they want.
Sure. We had satanic clubs up in Saucon Valley.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
Oh, they still do?
Yeah.
I might join one.
Stop.
Just to see what it's about.
Holy crap!
But if you're having them engage in, I think anything social nowadays, where they're interacting with each other instead of being on a video game or in front of a computer device or whatever... I think that's fantastic. Get them engaged, talking about policy, politics, etc. But no disruption in a hallway, because it could be any flag. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know how they jump to racism, though. I get it. I understand.
That's what they were trying to, and nobody bought it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep.
It's over. Nobody bought that Trump or we MAGA. You know, that we somehow are maggots, or we are evil, or we are deplorable, that we are fascist or Hitler or racist. Nobody bought it.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at the last election. But that was the media narrative that was just carried on, and it was absurd.
Kamala Harris's campaign, and then I'm going to get we're going to get off Kamala Harris, because this is just, it was in the news. That's why I'm her campaign manager, Quentin Folks, says, you know how they never had an open primary after Joe Biden stepped down?
Right.
He says that they didn't have one because it would have upset black women.
Oh, competition's upsetting? Okay.
Roll it, Phil.
We had 107 days, and I know people don't like that time frame, that number, but to open up a Democratic primary, you would have had black women, who were the strongest voting bloc for Kamala Harris, be highly upset if it was not Kamala Harris. You would have had someone starting with zero infrastructure. I hear your concern, and I'm not saying that primaries are not important and open primaries are important.
So, I mean, okay, I would actually argue that would play into her favor.
Yeah,
if that's the strongest voting block, then the results will show and bear that out.
Yep.
Right?
You are 100% correct, Michelle. Remember... a couple weeks ago, we played the video. Phil, you want to roll it? This is cut 15. We played the video of the Ohio State Michigan State game, where the Michigan players planted the flag on the Ohio State in the 50-yard line, right?
Yep.
Like, they just put it
up
there. Phil, you can run the video.
There
it's
it is.
So they planted the flag there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is Ohio State Representative Josh Williams has introduced a bill to make it a felony
A felony?
To plant a flag at the center of the Ohio State football field.
Okay.
Williams introduced the bill after Michigan planted their flag on the Ohio State logo. The Ohio Bill 8, that's O-H-I-O bill, would prohibit planting a flagpole and flag in the center of the Ohio State football field on the day of a college football game, and to name this act the Ohio Sportsmanship Act.
Okay.
He says no person shall plant a flagpole with a flag attached to it in the center of the football field at the Ohio Stadium of Ohio State University on the day of a college football competition, whether before, during, or after the competition. Whoever violates this section is guilty of a felony of the fifth degree.
Ooh.
Nick Cale, this is right up your wheelhouse, my friend. Your
Ooh.
Thoughts on this?
No, you can't. We can't combine sportsmanship and attach it to felonies.
Yep.
Think about how bizarre that is. We're talking about just, you know, hey, take your win in stride, take your loss like an adult, but if you don't, and you take a piece of metal
yep.
with some nice material, fabric attached to it, and jam that sucker into the turf at the 50. Felony in the fifth degree.
Yep.
I didn't even know felonies dropped it. So it's basically a misdemeanor, right?
Yep.
I'd love to know, does it say what the actual punishment is as far
death.
As jail jail time?
Hang
fines,
them.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I would like to know if this guy is a former football player, now turned politician, probably went to Ohio State, and might even be up for re-election.
I just think that if you want to make a law about something that could be a potential weapon,
yeah.
then make the law about any object that you're trying to pierce the field and plant on the field, or you're not allowed to bring any projectiles, or you know, make it something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, to make it a felony and specifically a flag. So what if it's a shovel?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a knife? What if it's a hammer?
Yep.
So they probably already have laws
yep.
to that effect. And this
mm-hmm.
is just an example of, I mean, this is why we have bloated laws. We have too many laws. It's like the George Carlin, when he does that whole bit about
right.
the Ten Commandments and
right.
whittles it down to like three,
mm-hmm.
you know, love your neighbor and whatever. So I just think that this is why we have these people who are just grandstanding. And it's stupid.
Now, if they wanted to make it a law that you can no longer rush the field after a big victory or storm the court like they do in college sports, I'd be fine with that. I mean, in theory, it's trespassing. Just because you purchase a ticket to sit in the seats
yeah.
does not give you access to the field of play or the court.
Yeah, but all you have to do is punish the player. Say any player who rushes the field, and especially if you bring any object
right.
on the field, whether it's a flag or whatever, because you could throw your helmet up in the air and hit somebody. So you're not allowed to do that. And if mm-hmm. you do, it's an automatic season ender for you, or a three-game suspension. Boom.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do that then.
Yeah.
If they know that's real,
mm-hmm.
just like in the NFL.
Yep.
You're you know,
right.
if they find somebody in the NFL like a few grand, they're still going to do it. But
mm-hmm.
if they say you have a mandatory game suspension,
yeah,
that nobody's going to do anything then.
Yep.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Everybody watching, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you have not done so, it is free. It costs you nothing, but it really helps us. So please do that if you're watching right now. Also, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, and I know a ton of you are, thank you for that. We really appreciate it. Your time is valuable, and the fact that you spend it with us means the world to all of us. Please hit the follow button on 1210 WPHD on the Odyssey app. Again, doesn't seem like a lot to you. It's all free, but it means a lot to us. I have to beat that news station with the numbers of follows, and we're like right on their heels.
Yeah.
So I have to
get scared, folks. We're coming for everybody.
This is a CNN poll, so please hit the follow button if you're listening right now on the Odyssey app. Again, free. A CNN poll says that Americans overwhelmingly support Trump and his transition moves. Let me repeat that. This is a CNN poll. Roll it, Phil. Cut 20. There we go.
Top celebrities, politicians,
No. This is cut 20.
CNN poll.
Cut 20.
I believe this is Harry Enten at the board.
No, it's not Harry Enten.
Majority of Americans, 54%, say they expect him to do
it's
a good job as president. And we ask specifically, do you have confidence in all of these areas about how Trump will perform and his ability to handle it? And once again, as we saw throughout the campaign, the economy is issue number one of his strength. 65%, two-thirds of Americans in this poll say they have some or a lot of confidence in Trump's ability to manage and handle the economy as president. And you see Russia, Ukraine followed there, then immigration. And his leadership skills, his what he intends to use his power for, whether that'll be responsibly or not, a bit lower. But again, all of this is majority support. So that is where things stand right now.
All right, Phil, if you could go back and just freeze it at the beginning so I can see those percentages in a still shot, that would be great. I actually want to make one point on his...
Good job as president.
Yep, just freeze it right there. Perfect. Foreign affairs, 55%. Let's start with that for a moment, because we're talking about, obviously, China. We were talking about Xi Jinping earlier in the show. These drones, or could it be Iran? Is it China? Where is this coming from? I'm actually a little surprised his ability at foreign affairs of 55% confidence isn't higher. I get it. Economy should be one. Immigration's a close third. Russia, Ukraine is second. That also tells me that a lot of people have had enough of the Zelensky handouts. The fact that that is so high up on that board stands out to me. But this is another reason why, okay, Matt Gaetz, it didn't work out. You moved on to Bondi. This is another reason why I believe Hegseth will get through, is Trump moved on to Pam. He's not going to keep doing it. And the reason why, look at the transition. Where's the transition number here? Wasn't there a transition one? Maybe it was on the other chart. I think a lot of people, the only people really complaining about the transition process are Rhino Republicans, some Democrats that just want to be a pain in the butt, and the media that's making these things out to be like, oh, you're not deserving because, what, you might drink too much? You cheated on your wife? I'm sorry. As awful as those things might be, they're not disqualifiers. If you're the best for the the Secretary of Defense for the United States based on your combat role, if you drink too much bourbon and you cheated on your wife, okay, those are issues. They're not a reason enough to kick you out. I don't view it that way anyway.
Sorry.
And no, this has nothing to do with my personal life. I know what you guys are doing. Your little pause for effect. I get it. I've been doing this for long enough. I know. I see you, pink. I see the pink sweater over there. He's giggling. The stalker puts his head down and chuckles. I got it.
I love the both of you, honestly. Okay. Sure. So this the let's move on to Luigi Mangione.
Yeah.
His attorney was on with Aaron Burnett and Caitlin Collins too, so he made the rounds last night.
He went through the car wash.
I want to start with cut 21, Phil, if you will. This is so he's making the not guilty plea, right? And Aaron Burnett asked about that. His attorney, by the way, Thomas Dickey.
Yeah, TD. Dickey.
All right, Dickey. Let's roll this. Yeah, there you go. Cut 21, go.
All the way. At this point, has your client said anything to you? Or, I mean, are you disputing that he was in New York City?
I'm not going to get in any communications between my client and I. That's not proper. And again, if and when formal charges are filed, no question that my client would indicate a plea of not guilty.
No question that so you're sure it'll be a not guilty plea. Do you know when you're going to get
the government? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Boy, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burden of proof is always on the government, okay? So, again, people forget that he and any other person charged with a crime is presumed innocent. That means we start off square one with a presumption of innocent of him being innocent. And the rest then follows, and then we challenge the evidence and contest it and battle it out in court where it belongs.
Right. Well, it's important, though, that, you're indicating there's no question that he would have a plea for not guilty when he makes that plea. May I just ask you, though, Thomas, just your sense of the situation? They're putting out, the NYPD commissioner is saying, right, that the ballistics match. The NYPD is saying that the fingerprints match.
His prints are on the water bottle.
You haven't seen this evidence. Are you frustrated that you haven't seen it? Are you trying to get your hands on that at this time?
Yeah, unfortunately, the way the process works is we don't get it right away. They don't have to give it to us, until certain times and certain spots as the case moves forward. I'm trying to get my hands on as much as I can, but again, you have to see it. You can't examine something and comment on it. And that's what's frustrating about it, because we get to see it and we get to hire our own experts and look at it and, you know, all the methodology yes. that's involved in it and challenge it.
So when you talk
that's
about...
That's my duty to my client. And I welcome
right.
that.
No. All right, there you go.
He obviously has no idea how delays work. so Thomas Dickey, Sonny Dickey. Hostin, they've all finished law school and your boy couldn't. All right, I got it. Think about this one tonight when I'm on the John. Let me say this about this. Look, I hate to judge a book by his, because he could very well be a highly qualified lawyer, just not great on television. But the belief is that the family retained him and is probably paying a pretty penny in doing so. But man, he gives off public defender vibes all the way,
he
including
does.
That awful tie.
Yeah.
But how about that, too? Because I thought, Dawn, you had earlier, I know you capped it off around 7:20 in your news. Mm-hmm. Isn't it confirmed now that the fingerprints are on the weapon?
That is from police sources in New York.
Okay.
Who say they have a match.
A match, that's right.
And the word was from the way they worded it was a match of fingerprints from a candy wrapper that was found at the scene of the shooting. The allegation here is that fingerprints on a candy wrapper at the scene where the CEO was gunned down match the fingerprints of the suspect who's in custody here in Pennsylvania.
Fingerprints on a candy wrapper.
Bar.
Jimmy Kelly, where were you?
a wrapper of a candy bar or a power bar? I think it was a candy wrapper.
And Greg, you had mentioned earlier, didn't we discuss something about a cup, the Starbucks cup or the coffee cup?
There was a Starbucks coffee cup that had his prints on it or something, right?
And again,
allegedly. And DNA. Yeah. They tested it for DNA and forensics.
Yeah. My belief is that this guy definitely wanted to get caught. There's no question. I mean, the amount of, you know, for him to be able to pull off what he did with some of the, you know, technology and the surveillance and all the, you know, reconnaissance work he did, even though it was publicly available, and then to leave certain things, you know, behind, taking your mask off at the McDonald's or wherever he was, and then staring directly into the camera in the cab. I think he wanted to go on the run for a couple of days, build up the suspense. But this was not a guy, I think, that wanted to take his life. And this is not a guy that wanted to live on the run for the rest of his life. He wanted to get caught. And that whole thing, when he came out of that police cruiser and started shouting out about Americans' ignorance and stuff like that, that almost came off too scripted and rehearsed.
Yeah.
This guy's been all about putting on a show.
Speaking of the forensic results, that was brought up last night with this, with the lawyer Thomas Dickey and Aaron Burnett. This is cut 22, Phil, on, that he's saying that they're going to challenge the validity of the forensic results. I mean, he's doing his lawyerly job. I guess that's what you should do, but, roll it, Phil.
Luigi Mangione. And Thomas, I appreciate your time. And, obviously you are dealing with this, your other cases as well in court today. The NYPD commissioner tonight is announcing that the gun that your client had on him when he was arrested in Pennsylvania at that McDonald's, they are saying that specific gun matches the three shell casings at the scene of the murder in New York. What's your response to that from the New York NYPD commissioner tonight?
Yes, Aaron, thank you for having me, first of all. You know, Aaron, I still haven't seen that evidence. Lawyers need to see evidence. Those
Michael, get it in discovery.
And getting that admitted into court
My cousin
are
Vinny.
Two different things. in fact, so what we're talking about is fingerprint evidence and some ballistics. Those two sciences in and of themselves have come under some criticism in the past relative to their credibility, their truthfulness, their accuracy, however you want to do it. So that's why, as lawyers, we need to see it. We need to see how do they collect it, how much of it matches. You know, like, I don't want to get too technical, but fingerprints, they go by ridges, different things like that. And then we would have our experts. We would have experts take a look at that and then we would challenge its admissibility and challenge the accuracy of those results.
So, you know, when you mention it's the ballistics, but also the fingerprints, when you're talking about fingerprints and the ridges on the fingerprints, you just mentioned specifically, the NYPD does say those fingerprints match the fingerprints, your client's fingerprints match the fingerprints on
there
the water
is.
Bottle.
Jerry Gallo.
And that kind bar.
The two Utes.
The murder scene. So
I'm not
so
Jerry Gallo. I'm Jerry Callow.
That, you're not sure that the methodology that
C-A-L-L-O.
The company that they're or however that they're matching those fingerprints, you're not confident in that.
Well, I'd have to see it. I mean, anybody can say, if they're going to use it, of course they're going to say that. But you have to see things. And that's why, you know, people need to keep an open mind. And, you know, we would get our day in court and we would get that evidence. And we can examine that evidence and challenge it.
Jimmy Kelly has confirmed that the fingerprints match.
Again, by the way, I have no idea about this guy's lawyerly skills.
Right.
However, he does not present well on TV.
No.
I think we can all agree on that.
And, you know, I didn't watch the entire interview. I'm only seeing these clips and seeing them for the first time like the audience is, presumably. But if you're Erin Burnett, and I think she's done a fine job so far.
Yeah,
I have no
exactly.
complaints of the interview she's done. I also would ask, and maybe she did, well, we have the manifesto. And in the manifesto, it says, you don't need to waste your resources and time. I acted alone. I did not have any help. I mean, that's your admission right there that not only did I do it, but I was a one-man band. So I would ask if I was Erin Burnett, and again, maybe she did, Mr. Thomas Dickey, your client says that he acted alone in the manifesto. And of course he would say, well, I would need to see the manifesto.
It's amazing how he hasn't seen anything and yet everybody's reporting that notebook found with his client contains a description of killing a CEO that matches all the details
he's
of the alleged murder.
He's seen as much evidence as Kale and Company has.
Joe's lunchbox says, my cousin Dickie.
My cousin Dickie. This guy reminds me of the other lawyer with the stuttering problem that they wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And then the Ralph Macchio's buddy was like, no, I want this guy.
Yes, exactly.
So they have a spiral notebook with writings in it, allegedly, that match what went down with the assassination of the CEO, Brian Thompson. They have the notebook that they claim was found on his person when they arrested him at the McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And also, it is, I don't know if this came out, I think last night this came out, that the gun matches the shell casings from the shooting scene.
Mm-hmm.
So they now reportedly, according to all these new law enforcement sources, they have the bullets from the scene matching the gun that was found on his person in Pennsylvania. They allegedly have the fingerprints from the scene matching his. So,
you know what's actually, this might be, I don't think this is in the weeds, but maybe it is. It's annoying and frustrating that the highly publicized and media covered events like the Brian Thompson murder, and I bring this up because my wife and I two nights ago watched the new 3-part documentary on Netflix of the Scott Peterson, Lacey Peterson story.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3 episodes. All three of them are about 45 to 55 minutes long. You go back to that case in 2002. You go back to OJ in 94, 95. When you look at the actual facts and the evidence in all three of these cases, they were pretty much open and shut,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the attorneys that were obviously highly covered and publicized, post-verdict, post-court, the whole bit, they all come back and say, yeah, I've represented people, I've been in far more interesting, compelling criminal proceedings, but it's the media sensationalism of certain ones, usually because the parties involved are good-looking, or there's a racial element to it, right? Like, Nicole Brown Simpson was beautiful. OJ was a black man. Scott Peterson, Lacey Peterson. I mean, they look like the perfect couple, right?
Yep.
Luigi's got a six-pack. But when you actually break down the cases, they're so open and shut, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the extracurriculars that give them the sensationalized coverage.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, OJ Simpson was a famous, like, basically
football
American hero.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a Hollywood-like script.
Mm-hmm. Who had beaten up his wife
right
before.
Right.
There was 911 tapes and bruises that pointed that way, and everybody's like, well, he couldn't have done this.
Right.
No way.
Like, blood in the room, on the run.
Yep.
Same thing with Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson was nailed at Torrey Pines Golf Course.
That Scott Peterson case was such a, had the world transfixed, and then you know what happened? 9/11. And people just forgot about it. Mm-hmm. It was literally front page news. Everybody was talking about that Scott Peterson story, and then 9/11 happened, and it kind of went by the wayside.
Oh.
So, how about the fact that the videos, you know, we have videos, surveillance videos of Luigi Mangione. It kind of looks like they match the suspect, right?
Yeah.
How does the attorney... How are they getting around that? This is cut 16. Phil, go.
To this one, sure. In a more fulsome way. But police say that Mangione gave them a forged New Jersey ID, you know, when they apprehended him at that McDonald's in Altoona. And that ID, I'm showing it here. I don't know if you can see it, Thomas, but it's the ID under the name Mark Rosario when he was arrested. They say that that matches the ID that the man at the hostel used in New York. That's the photo that we're showing here. That's him. There were two there. One when he is smiling at the person checking him in, and then the other one, the two times we saw his face in New York. When you look at this, and I mean, this is you as a lawyer, you as a citizen, do you think that those pictures look alike, the ID and the actual video captures that they have of the man?
First of all, I cannot see them.
can't see a damn thing.
A lawyer... I am a citizen, but I'm in different roles when I'm a citizen and as a lawyer. I am Luigi's lawyer. I've entered pleas of not guilty to the charges in Pennsylvania. We have a hearing scheduled, I believe, for December 23rd.
Mm.
That's when they're going to at least introduce some evidence. I'm dying to get my hands and my eyes on this stuff so I can.
So you don't think you're going to get that evidence until December 23rd? Let's just be clear. That's a Monday, the day before Christmas Eve.
I'm going to try to get it beforehand. Technically, under the rules, they don't have to give it to me until we have
it. So, how does the media have it then?
By the way,
does everybody have it but him?
Well, he has to officially, what he's saying is he has to officially be given this. He can't just watch, like, NBC News and use that as evidence in court.
Erin Burnett just convicted Luigi Mangione on television. That's what she just did. And by the way, this was a bad idea for Thomas Dickey. Terrible idea. He had nothing to say. He had nothing to offer. What is the point of, if I'm his parents, Luigi's parents, or whoever is providing the financial support to retain a lawyer, and we're gathering around and we're saying, let's do some media. Let's get our side. And then you trot out that putz, and you're watching that. I mean, are you firing him? He hasn't done anything to help my kid's case.
The only defense that I could see that this person would have is a mental, the crazy defense that he's mentally incompetent, that he lost his mind, that he had this back surgery. I mean, that's what I would go mm-hmm. with. Yep. So I know that this attorney has alluded to some of that, but that is what he should be mm-hmm. putting out there to say, you know, my client is, you know, he has suffered mentally, and I don't even know if he's competent to stand trial. Mm-hmm. That's my focus, is to, he's on suicide watch. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing he should be saying.
Yeah, the screws fell out of his...
If you're the defense attorney.
Yeah, the screws fell out of his brain, and they landed right in his back, all four of them. I think you're right. Like, all jokes aside, like, this guy snapped.
I mean, you have a notebook... According to, I mean, NBC News, everybody's reporting it, CNN, NBC, the latest one was he wrote in his allegedly, well, they, I mean, they have the spiral notebook with the scrawlings of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You whack the CEO at the annual parasitic bean counter convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's targeted, precise, and it does not risk innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That's in handwriting. Mm-hmm. So they'll get handwriting experts.
Yep.
But this attorney, if he's a good attorney, he's going to use that mm-hmm. and say, these are the scrawlings of a mentally depraved individual
yeah.
who didn't have control of his faculties.
And
right?
If you're also the prosecutor, this also shows premeditation. I mean, the parasitic. So, oh, by the way, we don't have any innocent people killed. I'm going to isolate this so specifically that only this CEO ends up harmed.
What about, has the lawyer spoken to the family? You know, that's the big question, too. Like, how?
Well, yeah, they tried to get on Zoom, but he couldn't see him.
This is Cut 17, Phil. Go.
So just to be clear, and I you know, but to be clear, you didn't meet him then. So when we see that rage, you haven't had a chance at that point to have spoken to him or seen him. Your first meeting was actually when he
that
was in the
correct.
Courtroom.
That is correct. Yeah. That was in the holding area, and I was on the other side of that. So my first contact with him visually was before you had a chance to speak with him, was him coming through that door, and you saw the interaction between he and the sheriff's department, and then look at the video of him coming out, and look at the difference. He's now had legal counsel. I was upset they didn't have any legal counsel prior to that. You know, that extradition hearing came on really quick, and he hadn't talked to anybody.
So, Thomas, do you know at this point why he was in Altoona?
Wait. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah.
That right there, what he should have said, you can see that he's a mentally deranged person. He's not within, you know, but at least he had an attorney that I was trying to calm him and, you know, he really needs counseling. I'm trying to get him a psychiatrist. He's on suicide watch. That's what he should be saying.
Yeah.
It's probably a good chance that Dickie was in front of the wrong cell for like 20 minutes talking to a guy named Bob. And the guards were like, hey, Luigi's in the next cell over. Thank you.
I'm not an attorney, but yep. I think these are pretty basic things that look, in this country, everybody, even somebody who, you know, there's a lot of evidence stacked up against, you have the right. You have the right to remain silent, right? And you remain presumed innocent until proven otherwise.
That's right.
So I hope he has a good defense attorney.
Yep.
Keep rolling, Phil.
Again, that would be their burden to prove. Again, I can't get into anything, any communications between that occurred between my client and myself.
Have you been
bound by law that I can't do that.
So I was laying out in the introduction the timeline here, right, that his mother said she spoke to him on July 1st, and then 140 days went by between that conversation and the day that she reported him missing in San Francisco. Have you had a chance to speak with her or any other family members at this point?
Again, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get into, you know, what my investigation has been up to this point. I appreciate the job you guys do as reporters because, I'm actually using, different news reports as my source of information. There's nobody's sharing these evidentiary things
He's
with
done.
Me. And again, unfortunately, I can't get into, you know, my oath and my duty, my loyalties to my client. And I can't get into certain things. And again, I'm biting at the bit, so to speak, you know, waiting to get my hands on this stuff so we can start attacking it.
Right. Now, I want to ask you one thing, if I may.
I got to be honest, Aaron. I haven't even spoke to the parents yet. I don't know my client's name. Let me see here. Let's see if we can find out where this guy is. This guy had to go to night school. Shout out to all the night law schools.
So apparently he wasn't done yet. He went from Aaron Burnett at 7 p.m., then went to Caitlin Collins at 9 p.m. because, you know.
I've got the website up. It's TomDickeyLaw.com. Defending your constitutional rights for over 30 years.
Again, guys, we don't. I have no idea about this guy's
here you go. I've got
lawyerly skills. Yep. He might be a great lawyer. I have no idea. He just doesn't present well on TV.
He obtained his undergraduate degree in history and political science from St. Francis College in Loretto, and after receiving his law degree from Ohio Northern University. I've never heard of Ohio Northern University. Stocker, I don't think you're off base here. I think this guy's a C-minus attorney.
Again, we don't know that.
Just my guess.
It's just,
they're saying,
just
I mean,
guessing.
It's widely reported that he's a seasoned trial attorney in Pennsylvania, more than 40 years experience.
Yes.
The question is, was he court appointed? The fact that we don't know that information is fascinating to me, that he wouldn't say whether or not he spoke to the family or whether he was hired by them.
He's gone from DUIs to first degree murder cases. He has a winning history making appeals at the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, resulting in new trials and restoration of custodial rights. So, yeah, he's probably got some success.
So we went to he went to Caitlin Collins' program. And apparently there's I think, Dawn, you reported this. There's a GoFundMe page now funding this guy's.
For Luigi's defense?
his defense.
Oh, jeez.
We're broken. We're broken as a society.
Stupid people.
Stupid people.
Yep.
All right, roll. She asked about this
earlier.
Yeah.
That there was, you know, people were inundating you with offers to help pay for his legal bills. Is that accurate?
I have received some emails. I have not seen them personally, but my understanding from my staff is people are doing that.
That people are reaching out to you and offering to help pay for his legal bills.
That's correct.
Would you accept those offers? I mean, I imagine you maybe have, have you ever gotten that before?
Nah, be honest with you, I probably wouldn't.
Why do you think you would not accept that?
I don't know. I don't know.
He's like Columbo.
I just don't feel comfortable about that. So I don't know. I haven't given that much thought, but I'm not obviously my client appreciates the support that he has, but I don't know. I'd have to look in, but it just doesn't sit right with me, really.
Why do you think they're offering?
Because we're a disgusting nation.
I don't know. People, you talk about, the Supreme Court says, all these rich billionaires can give all kind of money to candidates, and that's free speech. So maybe these people are exercising their right to free speech and saying that's the way they're supporting my client.
Why did this guy agree to go on TV? Why he's terrible.
Why did Collins agree to have him on 2 hours after Burnett's train wreck?
It's incredible.
I know. In looking at him, he is a... he did join the Blair County Public Defender's Office.
Where he should have stayed.
So is he...
So Road Warrior's saying that he's just an extradition attorney.
Yeah. That's correct. Once he goes from PA to New York, there will be new counsel.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. That's correct. Right. So then... No harm, no foul, I guess, right, guys?
All you got to do is basically put me in a vehicle.
So my belief is that the family did not find this guy.
Yeah.
He's court appointed.
Okay. Yeah.
By the Blair County Public Defender's Office.
That sounds about right.
That's my belief.
And by the way, there's no doubt.
Altoona's finest, right? Yeah,
there's no doubt that that guy would take the money from the GoFundMe.
He graduated from Altoona High School.
Yeah. He's Altoona's finest.
You know?
There we go.
Local guy. But it's important to have a local guy because Altoona, Johnstown area, that guy... You might make fun of him. He knows every judge. Well, I mean,
I am.
He knows everybody. He knows every judge. Yep. He knows the lady typing up the transcripts. He knows everybody in every court. Yeah.
Again, this is not. I have no idea about his lawyerly ability. I am just going by his TV appearance, which were terrible.
Well, I mean, look, you could
unquestionably terrible.
You could dig up the corpse of Johnny Cochran. Hey, this guy's going. He's getting life in 100%. Prison. It don't matter.
100%.
You could call Ben Matlock.
Found guilty. Strap this little boy's behind into an electric chair and let Brian Thompson's family pull the switch.
But if
he's found guilty,
if you are a good attorney hired by the family, presumably once he's extradited to New York, and they're vigorously trying to make that happen sooner than December 23rd. Mm-hmm. If you are that attorney, first of all, you already lay the groundwork that he has mental illness, but you also at the same time try to throw out any evidence that was discovered on his person in that McDonald's. You try to throw out the taking of the backpack. You try to throw out the arrest. You try to say that the chain of evidence was broken, and they try to get everything in that backpack, including the gun, the notebook, all of that thrown out for the trial.
I think moving forward, because I said yesterday that the extradition could take up to 30 days. There's a good chance that we'll see and hear more of Thomas Dickey. I think moving forward, if we play any clips, we need to dub under the music theme from My Cousin Vinny as we play the clips. Hey, honey, where'd you read that disclosure? He's probably sitting in like a little hotel out there in Altoona. He's wearing his little tank top, reading his... Pennsylvania state procedure book.
Meanwhile, on late night TV, Jimmy Kimmel is yucking it up that his producers, his staff, are texting back and forth to one another about how hot this Luigi is.
It's probably men and women on that text saying that how hot he is.
I kid you not. Like, this is, first of all, I understand what he's doing. He's trying to make a bid out of this. It is, like, if I had producers that were doing this, I'd fire them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised you was, I'm surprised that's your take.
Yeah.
Really?
No. No. Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Stockton
I certainly wouldn't broadcast it.
Oh, okay.
And make a bid out of it.
Well, I don't know. I would, I'm going to push back on that. I would say,
Free speech?
No, everything's content. I don't think that that's a fire.
Wait, so you're okay with Jimmy Kimmel doing this because everything's content?
Jimmy Kimmel and his producers on a text, and I'm presuming they're girls, maybe there's dudes
well,
on
he, there. He, well, he didn't mention names,
okay.
And he took out their like names on the text. He just, here, let's roll
let me
in.
Hear, let me hear this.
You guys both judge for yourselves.
That's it. See, Lorraine C. asks, do you guys think the United Healthcare CEO killer is hot? Friend replies, yes, I love Luigi. I think he's gay, though. This is an exchange between two of our producers. We'll call them Elphaba and Glinda. My TikTok is flooded. My mom chain's going nuts. That's my TikTok. Everyone is obsessed. People are saying a New York jury has the power to find him innocent because we all love him. I'm not mad at him. This one's from Susie D. She got hurt. This text from her mother. Am I the only person wondering that if the gunman had tweezed and reshaped his eyebrows, he would have never been caught? Aha, good point. His eyebrows are very defined. Next one. Please tell me you're as obsessed as I am with this handsome CEO killer. Yes, so many questions. Like, can I fix you? And Veronica.
There you go.
So, I think to be consistent, I always feel like everything is, you know, on the up and up for comedy. I don't think there should be anything off limits for comedy. Yeah, if you're not like check your ego at the door. If you're offended, that's a you problem. My question would be, do we think that's an authentic bit where his producers really were doing this, or this is fabricated for the sake of the production?
I don't know, but I feel like if I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they went down this rabbit hole, then it must be true, right?
Okay. Well, so
why start this bit?
Yeah, I think I think he, you know, here's the thing I will say, as and I think a lot of people look at this and say why would society lionize this guy who is accused of a heinous murder of a hardworking businessman, 50 years old, two sons, a wife. But on the other hand, I have to ask the question, how is it that the media criminalized and put down one Daniel Penny? That the media, with few exceptions, the so-called mainstream media, at the same time were you know, vilifying.
Yeah, it's outrageous
Danny
that they
Penny.
Could try to say that Penny is a villain, yet Luigi's a hero.
Yeah.
No, you got it wrong.
That's messed up.
Yes, Luigi's the scumbag. Penny's the hero. Like, we have, like, this, like, media identity crisis of what is good and what is bad, who's a hero, who's a villain. Are either of you surprised that, let's say that text thread there with producers and Kimmel, let's say it's authentic. Are any of you surprised that that's the kind of conversations that they would be? And I'm not bothered by that, and I certainly wouldn't fire any producer for that. You know, let's make a bid. And worst cases, if I'm Kimmel, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to fire my producer over it.
It's bizarre. This whole culture is
it is.
You know what it reminds me of? Hunger Games.
Oh.
Remember the movie Hunger Games?
Yes.
And all of society was watching everything, you know, that show reminds me, that's like a clip out of Hunger Games.
But I'm also not surprised that those producers, again, if this is authentic, that's their thoughts and that's what they're focused on, is the attractive element to Luigi. And oh, by the way, we don't think he's that bad of a guy because the system is so corrupt. Because the producers on Jimmy Kimmel's show are probably of the same ideology of these people that are putting up the wanted signs in New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
and I also, you know, I'll say this because they're woke. If he were, so you're saying that if he's an ugly guy, or is it because he's a white guy? Is this racist? You know what I mean? Would they be talking about him obsessed with him if he's a person of color?
It's a great point. But here's the identity that would matter, and this would flip the entire tone of the conversation. If Brian Thompson, the deceased United Healthcare CEO, was black, do we think we have any of this today?
Or a woman.
Or a woman. or anything other than a 50-year-old straight white man? Oh, it's sad that we have to ask that question, but it's totally valid because I do think the entire narrative would change. If Luigi Mangione killed a successful black CEO of a healthcare conglomerate like United Healthcare, do you think the left today is glorifying Luigi as a hero? I say no shot in hell.
I agree. I think, and that is really, when you think about what's at the heart of this, so you're allowed to hate a wealthy white man who heads up a company.
Yep.
You're allowed to hate him, and you're allowed to be so apathetic to the victim's family, children, siblings. You're allowed in this country because he's a white guy, powerful white guy who earned $10 million a year.
Right. And lost in all of this, too. And I know we've talked about it, but the guy had two daughters. That's what's
so infuriating to me about this whole thing.
Who probably don't realize what it means to, you know, cash out your stocks and, you know, do things that are potentially allegedly illegal and corrupt. But they're like, they probably don't even care. All they know is that their dad is gone now. And if they're old enough to be on social media, and I don't know, he's 50. Brian Thompson was 50, so I don't know. Let's guess. Let's just say his kids are 16, right? Maybe he had them when they were 30, when he was 34 years old. They're on social media, and they're seeing people taking victory laps over their dad being executed. It's disgusting.
That's what I mean. Like
sick.
And watching Jimmy Kimmel yuck it up and make bits about his producers and how deranged they are. You know what I mean? I just don't know. I just feel like the whole thing sucks.
So you don't like the, so if you were,
look, he can do it. He can do what he wants.
Let's say you were the brand manager for the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and you could override him. You had executive veto power. Would you have let that bit air?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I would. I mean, again, it's comedy. I don't think Jimmy.
But was
Kimmel's
it funny?
No. Well, none of those.
That's the problem, though. It's like funny. I'm looking at it. Is it compelling? Is it funny? Is it interesting? Showing a bunch of, you know, the producers' texts about how hot the, I mean, no, it's not. It's not.
I think entertaining. I think the question is not the quality of the content, but the selection of the content.
Yeah,
and also, I didn't watch it last week. Did Saturday Night Live spoof it or do anything with it?
No.
Okay. I wonder if they will.
What are you going to do on it?
I wonder if they will. Well, you can mock the defense attorney like we just did.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
These are the same people, the Jimmys of the world, these late night comedians who weren't funny for so long, and they would get up there and say Trump is evil and this and that and the other thing. When have they said, hey, folks, why are you laughing about a guy who, by the way, grew up, his mom was a beautician. He grew up on a farm. Mm-hmm. He worked manual labor.
Yeah.
And was known as somebody who was a very hard worker who came from poverty and worked his way up to, you know, becoming a CEO of a major company. You know, we might hate the healthcare insurance business, so-called, but this guy was somebody who was a really hardworking guy that leaves behind a grieving family. So if these late night so alleged comedians, if they were grandstanding about Trump being a danger to society, this and that and the other, why wouldn't they grandstand and slap down America and saying, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, I'll take it a step further with another comparison or analogy here on the whole, you know, the morals of preaching from your soapbox. Remember, was it Kimmel or Colbert that trotted out their wife for the abortion lecture?
Kimmel.
It was Kimmel. Okay. Yeah. So Jimmy Kimmel sends his wife out for serious conversations on another issue in society. You want to call it healthcare? We can call it healthcare. Okay, whatever. And she's lecturing us about abortion. Well, where's the wife to come out and lecture us on, yes, okay, we don't like the healthcare system, but in no way do we take it into our own hands and slaughter a CEO?
Yep.
So the selective morality is the part that's kind of nauseating.
Amen. All right, we have to break.
I'm exhausted from being so bright. God. taxing job. 8:54. We'll come back. We'll grab some candy bars, and we'll have some fun in the 9 o'clock hour. And, man, I don't know, maybe we can send Jimmy Kelly to Jimmy Kimmel and throw some mounds and Almond Joys at him. But it'll just be in fun. It's comedy, right, Jimbo? All right, DuckDuckGo, 30-day free trial. But you got to hurry because it's coming to an end this week. That's right, DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Forget 7-day free trials. 30-day free trial. No risk, but lots of reward. And we're talking about personal information removal from the internet. Of course, on top of that, with Privacy Pro, the 3-in-1 package, you get the VPN, you get the identity theft restoration, but I love the personal information removal because that really hit home with me on a personal level. 52 different times, my records were out there on the internet, and in a matter of just about 2 days, a third of them were wiped clean. I'm actually going to pull up my DuckDuckGo app during the break and see if any other things, you know, any other elements have been removed. I know I saw my social security number was out there. I'm like, wow, we got, and we're all guilty of it, right? We sign up for things, we buy things, we just willingly give away our information to any retailer out there, medical records, all these portals out there. All that stuff is just sitting out there dangerously for the hackers to take advantage of. That's why I'm hoping you will take advantage of our free 30-day trial at duckduckgo.com/1210. Privacy Pro, again, you're going to get the VPN, which is awesome. Probably the coolest feature on a personal level. But the thing that matters the most is your security. You want to be safe on the interweb, social media, things like that. Personal information removal. But hurry, this great offer, 30-day free trial. And then after that, by the way, it's just $9.99 a month. $10 a month, one of the best investments you can make. Because if you don't make this investment, it's going to cost you a lot more down the road. Check it out today, duckduckgo.com/1210.
Week 15 of the NFL starts tonight. FanDuel, in partnership with the Valley Forge Casinos, America's number one sportsbook, can give away for new customers $150 in bonus bets if you win. I'm taking the 49ers tonight, -3 against the LA Rams. That'll be the Thursday night football game. Plunk down $5. If you're a new user, you can win $150 in bonus bets. All you have to do to sign up right now is go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg. Sign up right now. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA, first online, real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.